Hi, I'm Pastor Colin Smith, Senior Pastor of The Orchard. We're a church that loves the Bible, and this podcast features sermons from pastors at each of our six locations. Our prayer is that these messages will help root you in the Word of God, nourish you in the Gospel of Christ, and help you to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Here's today's message.
Well, as we approach Good Friday and Easter, we'll be looking at the final days of Jesus' life. And I want you to see the hope that you have in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because this isn't just another story we tell during the holidays. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the story of hope. There is no other story like this story. So I want to ask this morning, have you truly experienced the hope and the love and the joy of the cross of Christ? Have you experienced it? Is it a well of gushing water flowing from your heart? It's amazing how many people say they know the truth, but they don't live the truth. Yes, I know, Pastor. Jesus died for my sins. I know I'm forgiven. I know I have hope in Him. Yet when you look at their life, it's filled with despair, and they're weighed down by guilt, and they're surrounded by darkness. Listen, you don't have to despair. You don't have to be weighed down by your guilt, and you don't have to live in darkness. There is hope in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Him, this hope can be yours. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't trust in Christ. So this morning, I want to begin by asking this question. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? And like a detective searching for motives and clues to find his murderer, I want to invite you to join me as we look to the motive of Jesus' killers. And as we investigate this murder together, my prayer is that you will see and experience the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. So who killed Jesus Christ? First, I want you to see that Judas betrayed and delivered Jesus to the priests and elders because of his greed. Because of his greed, he betrayed Jesus Christ. Now, some say that it wasn't Judas who betrayed Jesus, but only Satan who influenced him. Oh, Judas didn't do anything wrong. After all, wasn't Satan just controlling him? What fault does Judas have? Yes, it's true that Satan entered Judas's heart. That's true. But it was because there was a moment and time when Judas opened up his heart to Satan. Satan was crouching like a lion at the door of his heart. And it was Judas and Judas alone who opened the door to let him in. Others argue, well, someone had to betray Jesus. It was foretold by Scripture. And they have even shown sympathy to Judas. Poor guy, he ended up with the short end of the stick. He was merely the victim of providence. However, what you see in Scripture is something completely different. The story of Judas is not a story about an unfortunate person who was programmed to betray Jesus. Rather, the story of Judas is a story of a man who ended up making a series of disastrous decisions, leading him to betray Jesus Christ, leading him to betray his friend. But how did Judas lose his way? What led this man, who was called by Jesus Christ himself, what led this man to kill his friend? Judas was called by Jesus to become one of the 12 disciples. This was a privileged group. And it goes without question that Judas spent day and night with Jesus, sharing food, sharing stories, becoming close friends. Judas was also entrusted with great responsibility. He was in charge of the money, the ministry fund. And the person in charge of the money needs to be someone you can trust. And Judas was given this responsibility. Judas also participated in ministry. He was given authority to drive out demons, to heal the sick, to preach the good news. No doubt, people came to know Christ through the ministry of Judas. And yet with all of this, Judas betrayed Jesus. But why? Friends, it was because he was gripped by money. He was gripped by money. If you turn to John chapter 12, you see Mary coming to Jesus and anointing his feet, Jesus' feet, with expensive ointment. And John describes how the fragrance filled the whole house. And he records this beautiful expression of worship. But Judas became angry when he saw this. Why was this ointment not sold and given to the poor? He says. And John makes it clear why Judas said this. Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus stated, "You cannot serve God and money." But Judas chose money. He began ministry desiring to serve Christ, but somewhere along the line, his desire for money overcame him. And if Jesus wasn't going to make any money for him, well, he decided he was going to make money from Jesus. So he went to the chief priests and elders. He said to them, "What will you give me if I hand him over to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. That's about a third of 1 year's wage. He was so upset about the expensive ointment, he wanted to get his hands on that money worth about 1 year's wage. But if he couldn't get that, he settled for a third of that, 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment on, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus never said you cannot have God and money. He said you cannot serve God and money. In other words, you have to make a decision who you're going to serve. Because if you try to serve both over time, you will begin to hate the one and love the other. And that's what happened to Judas. He tried to serve both, and in the end, he chose money. And sadly, many others throughout history have done the same. Many today have chosen to do the same. You know what's interesting? Luke tells us that it was at this moment when Judas decided to sell Jesus off, it was at that moment that Satan entered Judas's heart. There was a battle going on. He was battling, but he opened himself up to greed, and Satan entered his heart, and he betrayed his friend. And so because of greed, Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to see that the chief priests and elders bound and delivered Jesus to Pilate because of their envy. It was because of their envy that they delivered Jesus to Pilate. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. He knew it was out of envy. But what were the priests and elders so envious about? I mean, these were men who studied the scriptures, religious men. What kind of envy led these men to kill a man First, Jesus taught as one having authority. He taught as one having authority. When the scribes taught them, they only spoke about rules and regulations. But when Jesus taught the people, they heard the voice of God speaking to them. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for Jesus taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Secondly, they were so envious because Jesus displayed signs and wonders unlike anything they'd seen before. He displayed signs and wonders. Jesus healed the sick. He fed the 5,000. He cast out demons. And instead of believing in Jesus, the Messiah, these leaders accused him of being a servant of the devil. You are of the devil, Jesus. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Third, they were envious because Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of these leaders. He exposed their hypocrisy. The leaders only cared for themselves and used the people for their own gain to make themselves feel better and respected. But in stark contrast, Jesus had compassion on the people. He ate and he received sinners. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so because Jesus challenged their authority, they became filled with envy. And they took counsel together against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Now, I want you to see what their envy reveals about their heart. It reveals something very interesting. They weren't serving God because of their love for God. They were serving God because of their love for themselves. That's what their envy shows. And when Jesus undermined their authority, they threw God's law out the door. All those years, they studied the Old Testament, studying what righteous living looks like, looking into the law of God for the coming Messiah. And when he finally came, blinded by their envy, they killed him. This is exactly what the older brother did in the story of the prodigal son. Do you remember that story? We focus on the younger son, but there's a story to be told. There's a lesson to be learned from the older brother. When his younger brother comes home, the father throws a party because his lost son has returned home. But the older brother, do you remember this, refuses to go in. And the father pleads with the older brother to come in. But with anger, the older brother yells at his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and yet you never gave me a goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, comes, you killed the fattened calf for him." You see the true heart of this older brother? He didn't serve his father because he loved the father. He served the father only to get the father's stuff. That's why he served his father, just to get his stuff. If you serve God in order to get his stuff, you will never be satisfied with what you have. And you will never be able to see the true riches and power you have in Christ. The older brother could have come in and enjoyed all the riches the father had to offer, but he decided to stay outside. The priests and elders could have believed in Jesus, the Messiah, and they would have received true power and true authority. But blinded by their envy, they killed the Messiah. Which leads us then to our third point. Third, I want you to see that Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified because of his fear. Who killed Jesus? Well, Judas, because of his greed. The religious leaders, because of their envy. And third, Pilate, because of his fear. When the chief priests and elders brought Jesus to Pilate, Pilate began to question him. And after close examination, Pilate was convinced of Jesus' innocence. This is an innocent man. I do not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him, he says. In fact, even Pilate's wife comes to him and says, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Let him go." But instead of acting justly by freeing Jesus, Pilate does all he can to please the people. He wants to please the people. Pilate was already in trouble with Tiberius Caesar, the king of Rome. And he didn't want to cause any more trouble. And the religious leaders were shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's, for this man declares to be a king." Pilate knew it was out of envy they wanted to kill Jesus. He knew Jesus was innocent, but he didn't want any more trouble. And he compromised because he was a coward, because of his fear. And so Pilate washed his hands in front of the crowd and he declared his innocence. He shifted blame to the crowd. "It's not my fault, it's on you." Ironically, it's his name that's been read for centuries in the Apostles' Creed. There's no mention of the priests, no mention of Judas, but we read that Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate. In verse 19, we read that Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, but he rendered false judgment. And because of that, he was the one judged throughout the centuries. So Judas betrayed Jesus because of his greed. The priests and elders handed him over because of their envy. And Pilate delivered him to be crucified because of his fear. But fourth, I want you to see that the Father delivered Jesus to the cross because of his love. When you look at Judas and the priests and Pilate, you may see yourself in them. In fact, oftentimes we sing this truth, "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice, call out among the scoffers." It was your sin and my sin that put Jesus on the cross. We have blood on our hands. But this is not how this song begins. Do you remember the first words of this song? Let me read the first verse for you. "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory." God so loved the world, friends, that he sent his one and only son for you. The Father did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for you. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Octavius Winslow sums this up for us when he says, and I quote, "Who delivered up Jesus to die? Not Judas for money, not Pilate for fear, not the Jews for envy, but the Father for love. The Father for love, end quote. Do you see the hope that you have in the cross? It was God's love for you that put Jesus on the cross. You don't have to despair. You don't have to live in guilt. You have hope in Jesus Christ. Human hands delivered Jesus up to death. But ultimately, Jesus went to the cross voluntarily. And the Father sent the Son to the cross because of his love for you. Do you see his love? Do you see the love of God? In these final moments, let me leave you with three ways for you to apply this truth. Number one, confess your sin to Jesus, and he will take your guilt away. Guilt is something we all wrestle with. That's why self-help books are so popular today. We have to do something about our guilt. And that's exactly what we see here in Matthew chapter 27. The chief priests and elders dealt with their guilt by justifying themselves. You see this in the way they handled the 30 pieces of silver. Listen to what they say. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. They murdered a man. They murdered Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And they're worried about the lawfulness of putting money back into the treasury. You see the irony Matthew is pointing to here? They buried their guilt. They buried their guilt by justifying themselves. "We are lawful men. We would never put blood money into the treasury. Oh no, we would never do that. Who do you think we are?" Judas dealt with his guilt by trying to atone for his actions. Seeing that he betrayed an innocent man, Judas was filled with remorse. He changed his mind and tried to atone for his sin by returning the 30 pieces of silver. But this wasn't true repentance. If this was true repentance, he would have returned to Christ. Instead, he tried to atone for his own sin. And he found no comfort in returning the money. He was unable to atone for his sin, and he ended up hanging himself. What about Pilate? How did he try to deal with his guilt? Pilate dealt with his guilt by shifting blame to others. Washed his hands. "I'm clean. It's on you. It's not on me. It's not my fault." But ultimately, he was not able to remove his guilt. Friends, you can't justify yourself, you can't atone for your sin, and you can't cleanse yourself. But Jesus can remove your guilt. He can justify you. He can atone for your sin. He can cleanse you of all of your sin and lift the weight of guilt from your heart. Do you feel like you have a 100-pound weight just weighing on your heart? Go to Jesus. Confess your sin, and he will remove your guilt. What then shall we say to these things, Paul says? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I love this part. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? No one, for it is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. If you are justified by God, no one can bring any guilty charge against you. Listen, you may have to live with the consequences of your sin. But you know what? You don't have to live with the guilt of your sin. Confess your sin, and he will take your guilt. Secondly, we can apply these truths by remembering, no matter how dark your past, there's hope for you in Christ. There's hope for you in Christ. Some people wonder, If Judas asked Jesus for forgiveness, would Jesus have forgiven him? What do you think? Would Jesus have forgiven Judas? The answer is absolutely Jesus would have forgiven Judas. Jesus died for sinners. Instead of going to the field and hanging himself, if only Judas would have gone to the cross, he would have heard these words from Christ. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Yes, Pastor, I know that Jesus forgives all sin, but you don't know my past. I've committed an unforgivable sin. Listen, the only unforgivable sin is losing all hope and not turning to Christ. But if you turn to Christ, he can and he will forgive all of your sin. The cross is big enough to cover any sin, and the strength of God's love is not out of reach for you. So come to Christ. No matter how dark your past, friend, there is hope for you. In Christ, there is hope for you. Third and finally, it's never too late. Remember this, it's never too late to believe in Jesus. It's never too late to believe in Jesus. Not only did Judas believe his sin was beyond forgiveness, but he also thought that it was too late for him to turn to Christ. But when you look at Judas and his sin of betraying Jesus, there's actually a greater sin you see that he committed. What could be worse than betraying Jesus, you may ask? Could there be a sin even worse than that? The greater sin that Judas committed was that he lost all hope and he thought it was too late for him. For whatever reason, you may think that it's too late for you. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're old in age and you think, oh, it's too late for me. I'm done thinking about that. Whatever happens is going to happen. But I want to tell you, as long as you have breath, it's never too late to turn to Christ. There's hope for you today, and you can trust him right now. And there is no reason any of you should walk out today without finding hope in Jesus Christ. Let me close with this final story. In 1912, Pastor John Harper was invited to come and preach at Moody Church here right in Chicago. Accepting the invitation, John Harper, who lived in Scotland, he was a pastor in Scotland at the time, ended up boarding the Titanic to go to America with his sister and with his little daughter. Now, you know how the story goes. The Titanic hit an iceberg and it began to sink. And he was able to help his sister and daughter safely get on the lifeboat, but he stayed behind. And as the Titanic went down, John Harper spent his last days urging people to believe in Jesus Christ. And as he was urging people, he came across one man who was holding on to a wooden plank. And he asked him, "Are you saved?" The man responded, "No." And Harper urged him to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. After a few moments, the current took him away from this man. But it wasn't too long after that that Harper was able to come and find his way back to this man. And he asked him again, "Are you saved?" Again, the man answered, "No." And again, Harper urge this man, "You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." It wasn't too long after this that John Harper lost his strength and he died, sinking into the water. Now you may ask, how do you know this happened? How do you know this is true? Well, we know it's true because the man John Harper spoke to survived. And it was not long after this man stood up in a church in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And he gave his testimony and he described what happened. And he said, "I and John Harper's last convert. I and John Harper's last convert. Friends, it's never too late for you to find hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, seeing our sin, feeling our guilt, but we are reminded that we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would remind us of this truth. We pray that we would never forget this truth, and we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and lead us, that all of our days we might trust in you, we might look to you all the days of our lives. Help us to remember the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Orchard Sermon Podcast. If you enjoyed this message, please subscribe, become a regular listener, and share the link with others. And if you're in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, we'd love to welcome you as our guest at one of the Orchard's 6 locations. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.